Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing with our Lent series and this time we're looking at Matthew chapter 7 verses 24 to 29. So let me just read those verses for you. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So I don't know about you, but I often associate this parable with Sunday school. It is a nice story that we tell to children about the importance of building our foundation on Christ and staying strong in him, rather than being like the foolish people of the world who build their foundations on things that do not matter. But this message isn't just for children. In fact, Jesus told this parable specifically to his disciples, the adults who followed him. So clearly there is a message in these words that we as adults and mature followers of Jesus need to hear even now. So firstly, let's remind ourselves of the context of this parable. Last week we saw how Jesus had some difficult and quite frankly harsh teaching for his disciples. He explained that the path to life is narrow and difficult and few people travel it. He warned them about false prophets who would try to lead them astray to get them to follow their own teaching. And he told them that it is possible to become a false disciple, to think that you are following the teachings of Jesus, doing some of the amazing things he did, but still when meeting Jesus face to face, they hear the words, "I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers." And then we get to our passage for today, and this parable starts with the word, therefore. In other words, Jesus says, in light of all that I have just warned you about, listen to this parable. In light of the troubles of walking the narrow path, in light of the false prophets and treacherous teachers, in light of the fact that if you do not truly have relationship with me, but instead follow my teachings on a superficial level, then I will denounce all knowledge of you. In light of all this, listen to the parable. Suddenly, it doesn't really sound like a children's story anymore. Suddenly, we realise the real-world implications, the dangers for us if we do not listen and pay attention to what Jesus is saying. So this parable can be used to help us to learn a number of important truths. So I do remember learning about this parable in Sunday school. We were taught that we need to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus to ensure that we are able to stand strong when the storm comes. And so this parable is used to teach us that we need to come under the lordship of Christ to know salvation. Salvation from the storms of life and salvation at the final judgment. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, there has been a message that has been implicitly woven through the teachings, but it is now explicit. And that message demands radical submission to the exclusive lordship of Christ. We cannot be content with merely recognising Jesus as a great teacher. Jesus' teachings demonstrate that he is more than a teacher. Therefore, we must accept all his teachings, including those that demand we submit to him, or we must reject him altogether. There is no other choice. There is no other compromise. As we saw last week, Jesus lays out a stark choice. There are only two paths. One leads to destruction, and one leads to life. And so he says, therefore, build your life. When Jesus uses the image of a storm coming in, with the waters rising, this encompasses both the storms that we experience throughout life, as well as the storm of the final judgment. Jesus makes it plain that total submission is required if someone wants to weather the storms of life and the ultimate storm of final judgment. And it is clear that Jesus has the authority to demand total submission. I love what it says in verses 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one with authority, not as their teachers of the law. The crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching, because his teaching was radically different from the other teachers, rabbis, and scholars, because Jesus himself had the authority. Other rabbis, teachers, and scholars would always rely on the words and interpretations of previous rabbis and scholars. They would say, Rabbi so-and-so said such-and-such. Those professionally trained in the interpretation and application of the law would look to the previous scholars to find out how to interpret scripture. But Jesus did not need to rely on anyone else's interpretations. His teaching and his authority came straight from God. His teaching was not based on interpretation of ancient texts, but on the personal authority of the originator, the one who spoke the world into being, the one about whom these texts were written. And so when Jesus tells us to follow his teaching, he speaks with the authority of God. And so he has the right to ask for total submission. If we want salvation, total submission is required. Jesus fulfills the law and the prophets. He instructs us that the path to life is total obedience, true righteousness, and life in the kingdom. And so he warns us that the alternative is rebellion, a life that is self-centered, and it leads to eternal damnation. It is the house that crumbles when the time of judgment comes and is washed away by the storm. So we can see that this parable has been used many times to focus on the importance of knowing Jesus for our salvation. But the interpretation of this parable carries us beyond thinking about eternal salvation to consider the practical outworking of Jesus' teaching in our Christian life. The rock on which we stand is the teachings of Jesus, which includes recognising and acknowledging Jesus as Lord, but also calls for us to live out Jesus' teachings in the way that we live our lives. We remind ourselves that knowledge must be translated into action, theology into life. And so it's important to note that the phrase puts them into practice in the original Greek demonstrates that this is not an isolated act, but a lifetime of following Jesus' teachings. We can't just listen once, and we must follow Jesus continually, constantly. While Jesus was teaching his disciples specifically, there was still a large crowd of people who had also turned up to listen. Many of those might have seen some of his miraculous signs or heard this new exciting teaching and decided they wanted to hear what Jesus was saying. But Jesus explains to them that merely hearing and listening to his teaching is not enough. If we hear without acting upon it, then we are foolish and are on the path to ruin. We need to listen to what Jesus says and live our lives according to them. I have heard quite a few people talk about who they think Jesus is, and one of the common answers I hear from non-Christians is that Jesus was a good teacher who said some wise things. There are many people that recognise that Jesus was a good teacher and had interesting things to say. Mahatma Gandhi, the famous Hindu peaceful civil rights activist, was someone who valued the teachings of Jesus. But Jesus tells us that it is not enough to value his words or to hear them. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. When Jesus tells us to hear his words and put them into practice, he is not just talking about listening to some of his words and following the ones we like. It might be easy to listen to Jesus' teachings about prayer or about not worrying and want to follow these. But we also might be tempted to hear Jesus' teachings about loving our enemies and forgiving those who hurt us and choose to live ignoring these commands. We live in a world that encourages you to pick and choose what you want to believe and how you choose to live. And so growing up in our cultures have given us this tendency to choose to follow what we like the sound of and ignore those bits that are difficult or that we disagree with. But Jesus says if we want to be wise, we need to follow all his teachings. Of course, being able to follow Jesus' teaching, we need a number of things. Firstly, we need to know Jesus' teachings. God's word has been given to us so that we can learn what God desires of us and how we should live our lives. It is an immensely important tool to help us live our lives in the best way possible, to live our lives to the fullest as God intended. But that means that we need to learn what God says in his word. I'm not going to ask for people to tell me, but I do wonder how many of us read the Bible every day, and how many of us only read scripture when we read it together. I'd like to think that you're all pretty good at reading the Bible, but certainly my ideas of you have suggested that you do know your Bible. But I've also come across other Christians who are quite biblically illiterate, and when I read this passage, I wonder, how do people expect to follow Jesus' teachings if they don't know them? So I want to encourage us all, and I include myself in this, to regularly spend time in God's word. Get to know what God says to us. Learn what he teaches us and strengthen our relationship with him by hearing him speak as he speaks to us all as you read. Secondly, and most importantly, if we're going to follow Jesus' teaching, we need to have the Holy Spirit guiding us and reminding us. God has come to live with us and in us so that we do not have to try to follow Jesus all on our own. If we had to do it on our own, we would surely fail. So the Holy Spirit is with us, talking to us, guiding us, nudging us in the right direction, instructing us on how to live our lives and what to do. But we need to listen to what he says. It is unfortunately very easy for other voices to crowd out the Holy Spirit. The voices of the world speak to us loudly and they try to drown out what God is saying to us. So we need to make sure that we have time set aside to listen out for what the Holy Spirit is saying. And we also need to stay in tune with him throughout each and every day. So let us listen to God, listen to God's word, and learn how to live with our life firmly built on the rock of Jesus' teachings. So this parable is also helpful for us when we consider the journey of life that we walk. The illustration of the two houses is instructive. During good weather, those two houses could both look like they are in good shape, strong and sturdy. They may even look exactly the same from the outside on those days with good weather. But the difference is revealed in times of trouble and testing. And the difference between the two houses is also plainly evident to God at the final judgment. When we have a firm foundation on both the teachings and the lordship of Christ, we are able to weather the various different trials that life has in store for us. I have experienced this in my own life. During a period of 4 years, I suffered the loss of 5 different people, starting with my dad, and then my maternal grandmother, a maternal uncle, a paternal grandfather, and then finally a close friend from university. During these years, I had to cling firmly onto Jesus, trusting in him to lead me through those incredibly difficult times. By the end of the 4th year, I will admit that I was waiting to see who I would lose next. I struggled to say goodbye to people, even if they were just going up to the shops, because I feared that that would be the last time I'd see them. I can say with 100% certainty that if I didn't have my faith, I would have crumbled under the strain of it all. And so I really resonated with this parable at the time, because I knew without knowing God was there, I would have been like that house that crumbled and fell when the storm came. We can think we're standing firm and strong as believers of Christ, but unless our faith is truly in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, unless we're willing to live by the teachings of Christ and under his lordship, then when the storms of life come, we can find ourselves faltering. So this is a personal plea to you, that you continue to hold your relationship with God as your number one priority. Only confidence in God will aid us when things get tough. So we've seen in this parable that we need to have total submission to God, to give him all our attention, all our focus. We need to be not just hearing Jesus' words, but doing them, following the teachings that he gives us. And we also need to rely on God when the storms of life come and the things get tough, because without him, we are the house that crumbles. So let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have given us your teachings. You have shown us how to live. And so, Lord, we submit to you. We ask that you take complete control, have lordship over our lives. And Lord, we thank you that because we know you're there, we can weather every storm, every trial that we face in life. Help us to keep depending on you in the good times and the bad. In your name we pray. Amen.